What it is, what it do, Cyber World. It is your girl, the one, the only, Ash Said It. AshSaidIt.com, AshSaidIt.com. Welcome to the Ash Said It Daily Podcast Show. I appreciate you guys for all of your love and support. Over 1,600 episodes and 500,000 streams worldwide. None of this would be possible without you guys, so I thank you so very, very much. Appreciate all the loves, all the shares, the cares. It makes a huge difference. We are available on all platforms, so iTunes, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, TuneIn app, everything. You guys can always tune in for the latest episodes. So today, we are talking with Dr. Neil J. Farber. Hey, Dr. Neil.
Hey, how are you?
I am great. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well.
Awesome. So, Dr. Neil, what part of the country are you at today?
I'm in San Diego, which is usually very beautiful, so it's really nice to be here.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I'm definitely jealous. I'm in Atlanta, Georgia, and the weather here varies day to day, as you can imagine.
Right. Yeah, actually, I grew up in the Catskills in New York, which is beautiful in the summer, but very, very cold in the winter, and then spent most of my life in Philadelphia, which also varies, but generally hot and humid in the summer and generally cold and miserable in the winter.
Yeah.
So this is a welcome change.
Definitely. All right, Dr. Neil. So to start things off, when did you decide that you wanted to be a doctor?
Wow. Well, that was pretty early on. I knew I really loved biology and everything about it. And love talking with people, and I guess the two really mix as being a physician, right?
Right.
and I really liked human biology, especially.
Gotcha.
And then, but when I was in school, in ninth grade, a friend of mine challenged me to try out for the play. I had absolutely no intention. but, you know, a ninth grader never turns down a dare, right?
You can't turn
so
it down.
I tried out and got a small part and fell in love with it. I was a terrible actor. I admit that. I always had small parts, but I was always there. But, you know, but never really did that well. But the thing it did for me is it got me really comfortable in being on stage. I love being on stage in front of people. And then in 12th grade, they did this thing called Red Letter Day, where you take on the persona of your favorite teacher for the day, and the teachers left. They weren't in the building. And so I was my biology teacher, and I guess the experience of being in front of a class, on stage, translated into being in front of a class, I did really well with it, fell in love with it. And it ended up being my career for the rest of my life. I was an academic in general internal medicine physician. So besides seeing patients, I taught and did research.
Cool. That's a really awesome. Wow, I don't think I've ever heard of a mix of that before. That's really cool. So what is something that you feel the average person doesn't know about the field of medicine? A misconception, maybe.
I guess, so one of the things is a lot of times they feel that, you know, that doctors have the answers to everything, and we don't.
Mm.
But also they feel that there's doctors who are constantly, you know, thinking and doing research and coming up with the answer. And in fact, a lot of times the answer just happens to fall in your lap in this unexpected event. And that's one of the reasons I got interested in writing the book.
Yeah. So that's what I wanted to get into next. Where did the inspiration for Serendipity Illuminates come from?
Well, it's really funny because being an academic physician, I ended up writing over 60 medical articles. And you know, you do that as an academician.
Right.
And my friends and colleagues always kept, encouraging me to write a book about my experiences with all of that research. Mm. And I felt that would be kind of, you know, just repeating everything I had done, so I really wasn't interested in that.
Right.
And then as I was getting close to the time I was going to retire, like a month before, mm-hmm. I suddenly had this dream in the middle of the night. I guess I was thinking about what was I going to do during my retirement. I knew I was going to be a docent at the San Diego Air and Space Museum because that was sort of a side love that mm-hmm. I had.
Yeah.
But other than that, I really hadn't thought of anything. And I woke up in the middle of the night. I guess I was having a dream, although I don't remember the dream. But as soon as I woke up, I knew exactly what kind of book I had to write. Mm-hmm. And it just came to me that way. And as I began putting the pieces together, I realized that most of my career had been these unexpected events, these serendipitous events.
Mm, wow. So how long did it take for you to complete the book?
Including the research and two drafts of the book, it was about 8 or 9 months.
Mm.
And then I had to find a publisher, which I was lucky enough to do, and work with them over the next year or so in getting the book ready to be published.
Wow. So I'd imagine that this would take a lot of your time. 8 to 9 months is not a lot of time frame. So was it day and night? You're like revising pages and you're going through your research?
No, it wasn't day or night, but I constantly was thinking about the book, about mm. different aspects of it. So when I, the research didn't take a lot of time, but any time I sat down at the computer, I pretty much knew what I was going to write because I had been thinking about it all day.
Gotcha, gotcha. So ultimately, what do you want readers to get from this project, this book?
I sort of want people to read it. Mm-hmm. That's my main desire. And what I want them to get from reading it is the idea that, first of all, these events are all around us all the time, mm-hmm. and we just don't oftentimes pay attention to them. And the second thing I want them to get is how to pay attention to them, how to recognize them when they occur so that they can take advantage of them and improve not only their career and maybe their life, but maybe even improve the society as a whole. Because if people discover things or think of things that'll help everybody else, then the society as a whole will be better off for it.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Now, give us an example of one of the first events, as you say, or instances that happened that you actually include in the book.
So one of them is how, so there's one that's my career and one that's my personal life.
Okay, gotcha.
And the career was, I was a fairly new academician, hadn't yet, and I was mainly interested in how patients and physicians talked with each other, but I couldn't figure out what I was going to do with that because I had mm-hmm. been trained in survey research during my first position. And it didn't lend itself well to that particular aspect. But as one of my early positions, they had a weekly meeting. And this one time there was medical ethics, which mm. really didn't interest me at all.
Right.
But they had this particular interesting topic, which was, how does somebody decide, how does a physician decide who to use life-saving measures on if there's a limited amount available? Like, for example, if two people in the hospital have a cardiac arrest mm-hmm. at the same time, their heart stops at the same time, but you only have one team that goes to those people to help them, mm-hmm. how do you decide who gets it and who doesn't?
Yeah.
And there was a lot of discussion about this. And then the resident said, well, this whole discussion is moot because we always decide based on who needs it the most or who's going to survive. And I thought to myself, well, that's not always true because I was a resident and I remember having, you know, like being influenced by my peers who had all these biases about who was good and who wasn't, you know, who was worth it and who wasn't. Like the person who's, you know, an important scientific researcher versus the person who's a street person, you know. Person who's a scientific researcher, just even if everything else is the same, is going to get it more. And I knew there were these biases, and I knew that this resident wasn't in touch with them. So I designed a study to look at that, found some really surprising results that got some attention in the literature. And I was hooked, and that sent me on a different pathway to some degree in terms of my research, looking at different aspects of medical ethics.
Wow. And you weren't even interested in that, see?
I was not interested in it, no.
You weren't
interested
in it.
Very much became interested.
Wow.
I very much became interested.
That's awesome.
And the other thing that occurred was how I met my wife.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a really interesting phenomenon. I won't go into the whole story. It's in the book.
Mm-hmm.
But the way it happened was very much a serendipitous episode occurring on the train. And both of us, if these whole series of events hadn't occurred in a certain particular way, we never would have met.
Mm. Wow. So, Dr. Neil, where can people go to get the book?
Well, anybody can get it online. If you go to Barnes & Noble, or online, or Amazon online, or if you go to a Barnes & Noble bookstore and ask them to order it, all of those are ways that people can get access to the book.
Loving that. Well, Dr. Neil, thank you so much for coming through and sprinkling some of those wonderful gemstones on us today. The book, you guys, again, it is Serendipity Illuminates. Go and check it out. It's all over everywhere, and we're actually going to put...
Let me say the whole title so everybody knows it.
Okay.
Because if you look up Serendipity, you'll see all kinds of other titles. But it's Serendipity, Utilizing Everyday Unexpected Events to Improve Your Life and Career.
Perfection. I love that. Well, we're going to put a link in the description too, Dr. Neil, so people will be able to just jump into it, grab it online, and be able to check it out for you. So we appreciate that so much. Much more success to you and your whole team, everybody that's coming through. And I appreciate each and every one of you guys. Thank you so much for your love and support. Keeping in mind, anyone to tell you that you can't do what you want to do, you look them square in the face, you tell them, don't believe me, just watch. Watch what I do, watch me make it happen, watch me make history. That's what we're doing this for, the history books. Social media is nice, but real life is so much better. Until next time, you guys.